Now, the Australian medical regulator, the TGA, has recently announced that the use of psychedelics in the treatment of medical health conditions, these include psilocybin, the chemical found in magic mushrooms, help treatment-resistant depression, and MDMA to treat PTSD. Research has long suggested the benefits of these drugs, but the decision has been made Australia the first country in the world to allow the legal prescription of psychedelics in the treatment of specific health mental health conditions. To discuss this further, I'm joined by Professor Susan Russell from Swinburne's University Mental Health Centre, who's conducted extensive research and ongoing research into psychedelics and mental health. Good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Record.
No problem. Nice to be on.
So how effective have psilocybin and MDMA been shown to be for treating these mental health conditions?
Look, research is in the preliminary stages, but is, you know, extraordinarily promising, especially for MDMA for PTSD. There's been a little bit more there than the psilocybin for depression. A handful of sort of case studies and early open label work, and then I think three or four large scale international studies, all showing incredibly promising results. However, early promising results. You know, if this was any other compound, there would have been a lot more research conducted before we got to this stage. The trials to date have basically done what we refer to as short-term trials, so the immediate kind of follow-up. At the moment, there are no long-term trials, so following people up for a year or more. And that will be my current study that I'm running in Australia, in Melbourne at the moment. We are desperate to gain some long-term data in the field.
So how has this decision by the TGA been received by those in the mental health sector and those who experience these conditions?
So mixed but optimistic. I mean, I think a lot of us were very surprised. I'm a little conservative, and I think it was a little early, and I think it was a little rash. But I do really welcome the opportunity to have conversations about this and to dispel some of the controversial conversations that have occurred. I think making research easier in Australia, which down scheduling certainly will do, there's so much paperwork and so much administration connected with it when it's a Schedule 9 drug. So it will make our research a lot easier to conduct. I guess my concerns surround about with this accredited practitioner model that the TGA suggested that they will accept. There is no accreditation for this kind of intervention in Australia. So they've only got 5 months to decide what that will look like.
So how will they be prescribed and used? Is there much of a plan or a method in place for this?
No, we're still in incredibly early days, which is, you know, what worries me about the accreditation. We don't have any standard models of care. And the critical thing about this is that you don't just give the individuals with these very, very treatment-resistant conditions with debilitating side effects the medication and send them on their way. They only work with a very comprehensive sequence of psychotherapy over about a 3 month period. And that hasn't been manualized. There is no models of care with this regard. And there are no international standards. So I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing there.
You're listening to On The Record, and I'm chatting with Professor Susan Russell from Swinburne University's Mental Health Centre about the use of psychedelics in the treatment of mental health conditions. So because there's so much still up in the air, do we know if there'll be many restrictions to avoid over-access?
I'm not quite sure how this is going to proceed at the moment. The guidelines suggested that each of the practitioners that did want to be able to prescribe would have to go through an ethics process. I'm quite unclear how that would, what that would look like. And I think that this is really one of the biggest issues. Most practicing psychiatrists don't have to deal with ethics boards in their everyday practice. And are very, I mean, some of them that do research will have some experience, but most of them have no experience doing this. So it's going to be a very steep learning curve for people that do want to do this. As I say, the guidelines really will need to be developed quite quickly.
It's quite an interesting situation with the TGA approving it and Australia becoming one of the first countries in the world to have these approved medications, yet we don't actually have any TGA approved medications for people to use or many guidelines in place currently.
No, exactly. And this is, on one hand, there's the time efficiency, which I was alluding to earlier, which has been great for us as researchers. But I think the dangers that this could present to the community do outweigh some of those advantages. And I think we just need to pursue this with a great deal of caution, that we're not leaping into something that could reveal a whole pile of side effects down the track because we haven't thought it through properly.
And we spoke previously about your ongoing research into the effects of psilocybin on treatment-resistant depressions. Can you give us an update on your research?
Yeah, so we're currently doing, as I spoke to you before, a pilot study, which we're well on the way to completing, and then in June this year, that pilot study will be moving into the full phase two study, where we'll be recruiting 160 participants with treatment-resistant depression. That extension full-scale study will then be opening up sites in Tasmania and in Brisbane as well as Melbourne. I think the journey thus far is, look, there are some positive results for some people. I think the international data that suggested it was a miracle cure isn't coming to fruition. I think there are an awful lot of side effects and risks that aren't very well manualized in the international literature that we've come across, and we will certainly be writing up so everyone knows about them, that aren't in the literature in the space at the moment.
Is it likely that your research contributed to the TGA decision, because you've done so much in this area?
I hope not, actually, because I think it was premature and no one spoke to me.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, hope not. But, I know that there's obviously a lot of public opinion, and it can get very, very passionate. And I do understand where that has come from. People are desperate. We are desperate for new answers in mental health. I mean, as a clinician scientist who wants to actually improve the outcomes for people with mental health, I'm desperate for solutions too. But jumping on the bandwagon with something that hasn't had its side effect profile fully established is really quite premature. And when I say side effect profile, I just want to make sure that I'm really clear here. What I'm talking about in terms of safety is, I'm not talking about physical safety. We know that it's physical safety is fine. We know that it doesn't cause heart diseases and cancers and so on and so forth. It's the mental health consequences down the line of these profound changes to people's psychological health. And that's what really needs to be mapped better. And as I indicated at the beginning, there isn't any long-term data on this. None of the trials to date have looked at this.
So what avenues of research do you think needs to be targeted before the TGA starts rolling out the ability for people to be prescribed these medications?
I think we need to roll out. I think we do need to do research, like I said, on long-term treatment effects. We need to do research on different treatment models. We need to do research on who is going to benefit from this intervention. From our pilot work, we can already make some really educated guesses that there are some individuals that this is really not appropriate for. It actually causes more psychological harm. And then, like I say, I think none of that is written up. One of the things I'm really keen to emphasize here is you know, who it will work for and who it won't work for. This isn't going to be a fix-all. I think this is going to work for a certain number of individuals and work very well.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Record this morning and telling us a little bit more about the TGA's decision, but also what more research needs to be done.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. That was Professor Susan Russell from Swinburne University's Mental Health Centre telling us about how the TGA has recently approved the use of psychedelics in treatment of mental health conditions, but we still have a long way to go to understand the impacts.